So we are reading from the Madhya Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 7, verse 109. Navadvipe ye shaktina koilo prakasho, she shakti prakashe, Nishtorila dakshina dashe. So the translation, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not manifest his spiritual potencies at Navadvip, but he did manifest them in South India and liberated all the people there. The purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki jai. At that time, there were many smartas, non-devotee followers of Vedic rituals at the holy place of Navadvip, which was also the birthplace of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Followers of the Smriti Shastra are called smartas. Most of them are non-devotees. And their main business is following the Brahminical principles strictly. However, they are not enlightened in devotional service. In Navadvip, all the learned scholars are followers of the Smriti Shastra. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not attempt to convert them. Therefore, the author has remarked that the spiritual potency Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not manifest at Navadvip was by his grace manifested in South India. Thus everyone there became a Vaishnava. By this it is to be understood that people are really interested in preaching in a favorable situation. If candidates for conversion are too disturbing, a preacher may not attempt to spread Krishna consciousness amongst them. It is better to go where the situation is more favorable. This Krishna consciousness movement was first attempted in India, but the people of India, being absorbed in political thoughts, did not take to it. They were entranced by the political leaders. We preferred, therefore, to come to the West, following the order of our spiritual master. And by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this movement is becoming successful. So now we do have the verse there. You could see it clearly. Om Jnana Tamirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastarya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschaste Satarine Vancha Kalpatrupascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayeva Cha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Prabhus, I seek the humble blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas and the unassembled Vaishnavas. And you are all like desire trees, fulfilling the desires of all the conditioned souls as moi. So I seek your blessings, for this is indeed a very auspicious day for us. It is not every day that Srila Prabhupada sets foot on American soil. After 70 odd years, actually 70th birthday, it was observed, the Vyasa Puja was observed on the Jaladuta. 69th in one sense, but Prabhupada mentioned 70th. Very auspicious. This particular verse was inspiring to me. Why, you may ask? It's really, I thought that Gauranga Mahaprabhu leaves Navadvip and he enters the soil of South India and converts many. Why does he leave Navadvip? According to this verse, because he's had enough of the Brahmins, smarter Brahmins there. He's had enough of those personalities who seemingly are his obstacle and they're not taking to his instructions. So he thought, well, better shift camp. Let's move to South India and convert thousands. So similarly was the thought of his divine grace. Leaves India and enters foreign soil and converts thousands upon thousands. Now, the very same could have happened and could have been achieved by Gauranga Mahaprabhu. I was contemplating when Mahaprabhu is in Puri and every day he bathes in the ocean. Now, Prabhu, it could be very easily done by the Supreme Lord that in the ocean he could have swam all the way down, up across, into Europe and come here to little old Blighty. He could have done that and entered the beaches of Brighton or Portsmouth or even Great Yarmouth and come into Angadesh, which is what this is, and walked to London. And he would have met at that time which monarch? Any idea? A very, very famous monarch was ruling this land of ours at that time. Sorry? Oh, my Lord. Nowhere near it. We're talking about the 16th century, Henry VIII. Such a powerful monarch in English history. And he is existing at the same time of Mahaprabhu. Now, Mahaprabhu could have even flown. Yes, there were no planes. He may have just summoned a Viman from the celestial realms and he could have entered here right on top of Bhaktivedanta Manor, Pigott's Manor, this very region. And he would have begun his propaganda and he would have converted the entire population on this little island. But he didn't do that. He went to South India. And he left the job for several centuries later to be achieved by none other than his divine grace. Now, of course, English history is such that, you know, you had Henry VIII and then another very powerful monarch and famous monarch was Queen Elizabeth I. And if it wasn't for the defeat of the Spanish Armada, history would have changed. If it wasn't for the Battle of Britain years later, history would have altered. Now, all these events, I'm quoting, all these events are very conducive for in the 60s when Srila Prabhupada appears here in the West and converts everyone within a short span of time, only 12 years, not much time. Now, at the time of when Gauranga Mahaprabhu was here, and we have the very famous and very memorable pastime of when Vasudev Datta pleads to the Lord that in exchange for him to enter the hellish regions for virtually eternity, could he liberate all the souls in this universe? You may have come across that pastime. A very, very interesting concept, liberating each and every soul within this universe. My God, what? How to conceive such a concept? Mahaprabhu, it's mentioned, does do that. He liberates them all. And I was thinking of our monarch, Henry VIII. Would he have been liberated? Such a monarch? Seemingly a tyrant? But yes, everyone who is present on this planet would have been liberated somehow or the other. For us to dwell upon, somewhat inconceivable. So, yes, the credit and the task was given to Srila Prabhupada to come to the West. And if you take a look at the comparison of Mahaprabhu and what he did, yes, he went round Bharatvarsh twice, converted many, many, many. Even there's one particular pastime of him converting the Jains and the Jain guru being offensive somewhat. And Mahaprabhu just, you know, tosses this plate in the air and it hits this guru on the head. So in that manner, he converted the Pathans, the Musliman Pathans. So Mahaprabhu did a lot of converting. But was it anywhere near what Srila Prabhupada did? Prabhus, I would say nowhere near it. For Prabhupada, in a matter of just 12 years, encircled the entire globe, what was it, 15 times. Mahaprabhu didn't do that. So very unique. And so I was then therefore contemplating upon the milestones in the life of Srila Prabhupada, and specifically between when he appeared in, what year was it? In 1896, and his centennial year, 1996, which I remember very, very well, for it was one of the most active years for many of the devotees here. I was like a chicken with no head, running around doing so many things. It was impossible to concentrate on anything, and that was the year for us, which we became victorious in building the road and saving the temple campaign. And that for us was the offering which we made to Srila Prabhupada in 1996. But in 1896 was his appearance, and during the very same year was Bhaktivinoda Thakur sends to the West the very first book on genuine Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. The very first book arrives here in London in that year. Interesting. Then 5 years later, when Srila Prabhupada is simply 5 years old, a mere toddler, he has his very first Rath Yatra, which we all know very well. In 1902, the next year, Srila Prabhupada began his worship to Radha Krishna deities. Now, he's only six, but he notices what his parents are doing. He notices what his father is doing, the worship he performs to Radha and Krishna. And at the age of six, he begins his worship to Radha and Krishna. Now, generally, a six-year-old wouldn't do anything of the sort. My son certainly didn't do anything of the sort, and he still doesn't. In 1916, Prabhu's, 1916 was quite interesting. He became a student of philosophy at the Scottish Church's College. And we know that very well. In 1918, His Divine Grace changes ashram, becomes grihastha. And 2 years later, he appeared in the Bachelor of Arts examination. Of course, in due course, he rejects the entire degree which is achieved. In 1921, he was appointed the assistant manager of the Bose Laboratory and joined Gandhiji's movement. This was quite an interesting time for him. In 1922, this was his very first meeting with his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta. And it was in this meeting that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Srila Prabhupada instructed Srila Prabhupada to preach in English and preach in the West. Now, this was his very first meeting. And Bhaktisiddhanta instructs him that you must ultimately go to the West and preach in the English language. In 1925, Srila Prabhupada visits Vrindavan for the first time. And at that time, he was 29 years old. And when I kind of contemplated upon that, I thought, my God, he's quite old. I did my visit to Vrindavan when I was much younger. How is it that Prabhupada, being in India, waits until he's virtually 29? Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Si Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Gonitai Bhagavan ki jai. Prabhu's in 1928, he assisted in establishing the Allahabad Center of the Gaudiya Math. So this is when Srila Prabhupada begins to assist his Gurudev's, Srila Prabhupada's mission. In 1932, after some 10 years of meeting Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Prabhupada receives Diksha initiation. And in 1934, he helps establish, or in one sense, this was his very first center which he established in Koliatunk. It's called a Koliatunk Center of the Gaudiya Math. So in essence, this was the very first temple, as it were, which Srila Prabhupada established. And in 1935, instructed by his spiritual master to publish books and build temples. So this was the instruction which he really imbibed upon. And it took some 3.5 decades later that he that particular instruction manifested. But that was in 1935. In 1936, the final order from his guru came. And again, that final order was to preach in the West. Now, if you contemplate, you know, this is 1936. World War II is about to appear. How the heck's he going to go to the West? It's impossible to travel, especially in the middle of a world war. You wouldn't do that. But so he had to wait and wait. And I'm sure, you know, Prabhupada is thinking, when am I going to do this? When will it be possible? In 1939, he was honored with the title of Bhaktivedanta. So the title of Bhaktivedanta was given to him in 1939. And of course, in 1944, what's so important about 1944? Anyone? Yes, thank you, Jagannath. Jagannath what, Sutta? Jagannath Sharan, there's so many Jagannaths. Jagannath Sharan Das, thank you. Yes, the BTG, 1944, that will always be in our minds. 1953, Srila Prabhupada started the League of Devotees in Jhansi and initiated his very first disciple, Acharya Prabhakar. Acharya Prabhakar was his very first disciple. I have no idea who was his last, but that was his first. In 1954, he retired from family life. Adopted Varnaprastha and renounced his entire family. He just renounces, something very difficult to do. And then in 1959, he accepts sannyas. In 1960, the very first book he publishes, which is Come on, Jagannath. Oh my God, he knows it all, doesn't he? SSR, easy journey, any other offers on the ladies' side? I'm afraid, Jagannath, you're right once again. It is indeed the journey, easy journey to other planets. Please remember that book, Easy Journey to Other Planets, a tiny little book. It is the very, very first publication. So I'll try and remember it also. In 1960, that was, in 1962, the very first volume of the Bhagavatam was published. The very first volume. In 65, that's when, of course, Srila Prabhupada appears in the U.S., in the holy soil of the Americans. In 66, naturally, he establishes his international society. And then in 67, he completes what? Come on. We haven't got all day. The Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is completed in 1967. Thank you. You almost had it. In 68, he publishes the Bhagavad Gita. By which company? Yes, thank you. Wow, really on top form. In 1972, what marks 1972? Any idea? Sorry? No, nothing of the sort. Yes, but no. Sorry? No way. That was in the 60s. Sorry? He established ISKCON? Sorry? Established ISKCON? Well, that was in 66. I'm talking about 72. 72 was an important year because all the Gujaratis came here. From Uganda. And one I believe is here. But no, Prabhu's... Sorry? That was in 73. How can you not know that? Come on, Prabhus, wake up. The Bhaktivedanta BBT was established in 72. What a unique stroke of genius by His Divine Grace. The BBT. Absolute genius for him to do that. Then, of course, there was BBL as well. Bhaktivedanta Books Limited. But BBT established in 72. Please do remember that, for I will attempt to remember also in future years to come. In 1975, Prabhus, the CC was completed, the full 17 volumes. Rushed, no doubt, because his time was limited. But in 75, His Divine Grace completed the entire work. In 77, naturally, he takes Samadhi. And in 86, I'm rushing through, for time is of the essence. In 86, what is 86? The inauguration of the Samadhi Memorial in Vrindavan. And then, of course, in 95, his Puspa Samadhi is erected. Where, thank you very much, Mayapur Dham Ki Jai, with 2.2 million tiles on the dome. I remember the 2.2 million tiles when we went there. I think it was in, what year was it? In 94, before it was inaugurated. And, you know, we were given the tour. And what was very, very impressive was this humongous dome back then. And the figure of so many millions of tiles. It was very, very impressive. But that was in 1995. And of course, finally, coming 100 years, 1996, the centennial year, naturally. So these were the milestones of 100 years. I was with a gentleman a couple of days back, and quite a unique story. He had visited here in the early 70s, on numerous occasions, and he met Srila Prabhupada. He's now 90 years old. His wife is 85, and he would come all the way from Croydon Railway Station. There were no cars, or very few cars back then, and he would take the British Rail, and he would come to Radlett, walk from Radlett station, and come here to the temple. And on number of occasions, he met Srila Prabhupada, and on one occasion, there was a dialogue with Srila Prabhupada on certain occasions in Hindi. He was a Gujarati gentleman by the name of Jentilal Patel and Hansaben Patel. And he asked Srila Prabhupada that there are so many young people here and they have surrendered unto you. How is it that they have surrendered? And in one sense, Srila Prabhupada's response to him was, they belong to me, for they are my eternal, eternal sons and daughters. They belong to me. So it was quite a unique, when he was describing that to me. And then, of course, he did mention that, I never really did much. I came and went and carried on with my life. I didn't really surrender. And years went by, decades went by. In 77, he mentioned, Prabhupada left. So I should have really done more. I should have done more. So many of these young devotees have done more, but I wasn't in a position. And I'm thinking to myself, well, now you are. You're 90 years old. And why am I here? Because, Prabhu's, this was the personality. Well, both of them, Kaka and Masi. Kaka means uncle and Masi means auntie. They want to do something. And what they did is they eventually donated the largest amount of Lakshmi any individual has donated to our humble temple. That's what they've done. It's her life savings. For he was running the household, but her money was being saved bit by bit, and he would deposit it in the Bank of Baroda and send it away from this country so the tax man doesn't grab his fingers. He sent it away, and decades went by. And accumulated. And this became their offering to Srila Prabhupada. That deserves, yes, thank you. And when I mentioned to him, today we are transferring this Lakshmi. Of course, now it's not, cash in hand and the holy name. Not cash in hand or a check. All these things are obsolete. It's bank transfers, isn't it? It's the day of the modern age. All you have to do is bank transfer, of course. It wasn't that easy. But anyway, we're sitting in the Bank of Baroda, and this transfer is being made. And he's saying, so is it happening? I said, yes, it's happening. And you do know, today is a very auspicious day. Of course, for me, any day is auspicious when Lakshmi comes into our account. I'm not bothered whether it's the most inauspicious day. Yes, it is the most auspicious day. So, but this is an auspicious day, for today is the tithi. Today, well, it marks the anniversary. This was on the 18th, a couple of days back. Marks the anniversary of Srila Prabhupada coming to America. And when I said that, of course, you've got to remember he's 90 years old, even though he's very, very with it. Mentally, he's sharp. He is sharp. But tears rolled down his cheeks. What, today's that day? Yes, today, Kaka, is that day. And you have now given everything you have to Srila Prabhupada. And tears just rolled down. It was wonderful to see that. So, a single donor, yes, there have been other personalities who may have given, but through their companies. Never in history has anyone done that much. And even though back then when he met Srila Prabhupada, And when his wife met Srila Prabhupada, you know, there were, he was, what, in his mid-40s, 43, 45. He couldn't surrender, not like the young boys and girls. Couldn't manage that. They never had any children. They carried on with their lives. But years later, this is the surrender they make. And it's difficult to do that. I couldn't do it. You know, I'm accumulating, calculating. Just yesterday I got my new phone and, you know, Yogi gets me this bank app. And I'm thinking, do I need a bank app? Will my money go away? Will it be stolen? Will there be fraud? I'm thinking, oh, Yogi, is this safe? Is it safe? You know, I'm calculating. I'm attached to the bank balance, which is somewhat not building. I'd like to see it more and more. But here, you know, a large sum Kaka has given and Masi has given. So it was quite an amazing thing to experience. And then, of course, he says to me, well, I should do more, shouldn't I? And I'm thinking to myself, don't worry, Kaka, now I'm in your life. I'll take every penny. I'll strip you naked. I'm thinking this. I'll take every penny you have. And for, oh, well, hopefully I will establish that relationship further and attempt to look after them. For I'd like to be their adopted son. But anyway, enough said. Srila Prabhupada, at the time when he is about to leave the Jaladuta and set foot on that soil, as we know, he writes a profound, profound poem. And any of you who have come across that will cry. You will be crying. Especially some of the verses, you know, they are so deeply, deeply emotional. Of course, when I read that, you know, I was in tears. I was like a baby, crying like a baby. Of course, I've got to now control my emotions. If I do cry, just chuck a pillow at me and stop me from doing so. But if you cry, I don't mind. Do shed a tear or two, for I shall attempt to recite these verses with your rapt attention, full attention, for that is required when we meditate on these very special verses. Initially written in Bengali, but then Srila Prabhupada does translate these verses. So there are 20 verses, very emotional, and His Divine Grace begins with, my dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul. But I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. Now you can do whatever you like with me. At this point, Srila Prabhupada is thinking, what's going to happen to me? I've literally got nothing on me. A trunk full of books, a few rupees, it's mentioned $7 or 40 rupees. What's that? It's nothing. Doesn't particularly know what's going to happen. Will I be picked up? Will someone come and take me to Gopal Agrawal's house? Will that happen? He doesn't even know. For the mobile didn't exist at that time, Prabhus. That the assistance wasn't there. But I guess that you have some business here. Otherwise, why should you call me to this demoniac place? Considering this demoniac. Most of the population here is covered by nature's modes of ignorance and passion. And I do not know how they will be able to understand the transcendental message of Vasudev. How will they understand? But Srila Prabhupada's faith was so profound. If the Indians are not accepting, how is he going to convert all these youngsters, you know, all these American boys and girls? And then, of course, the British boys and girls. Yeah, we're all British, by the way. But I know that your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. Therefore, I am simply praying for you, for your mercy, so that I can be able to convince them about your message. I haven't come here, he's thinking, I haven't come here for myself. I have come here to do your bidding, which you should have done as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Come here in the West, met this monarch. Maybe if Mahaprabhu had met him, Henry VIII would have changed. May have not married six times. All living entities have gone under, have come under your control of the illusory energy by your will. And therefore, if you like you by your will, you can also be released. They can also be released from the clutches of illusion. By your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. If you so desire, I wish that you may deliver them. Just by your desire, they will be able to understand your message. Now, such a message, how is it that anyone can understand? So very difficult. And that's why when this kaka, you know, questions Prabhupada, that how is it that these young boys and girls, Prabhupada mentions to him that it's also previous life. It's previous. It's not that, you know, they've just automatically appeared here. They may have been selected, no doubt. Very much so. Why? Because all of a sudden they can easily grasp. A young bhakta who's just joined the temple, you know, very much efficiently chants verses. And Muggins here, who's been at the temple for several more years, can't even read a little bit of Sanskrit. You know, it's previous existence, isn't it? The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation. And if they receive them in submissive oral reception repeatedly, then they will be able to understand your message. If they receive them in submissive oral reception, then they will be able to understand. And this is what occurs. For the next 12 so years in his Vapu, and now, after decades later, in his Vani, and for the next millennia upon millennia later, for the next 10,000 years, 9,500 years, his words will remain. His Vani will remain. Then verse 9 to 13, Srila Prabhupada, interestingly enough, quotes from the very first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the second chapter, from verses 17 to 21. I was going to chant these verses out loud to you, but you know, I can't read much Sanskrit. I'm pretty much illiterate. But here I've written them down. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, verse 17 through to 21, it is said, for anyone who gives oral reception to the always auspicious transcendental messages about you by hearing and chanting, you become a special well-wisher. And thus remaining within his heart, you clear up all inauspicious understanding. This is verse 13 of his compilation, there 20. When such inauspicious understanding is almost cleared up, a person realizes the importance of devotional service in that stage of understanding, the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion becomes almost nil. And the reluctant action of passion and ignorance can no more attack the heart. Thus, he becomes joyful, being situated on the platform of goodness. So this is what's occurring in the hearts of all these young devotees. When, by the dint of devotional service, he thus becomes jubilant due to awakening the modes of goodness. The devotees in the presence of Srila Prabhupada are very much jubilant. He becomes liberated from material contamination and is able to understand the science of God. In this stage of liberation, all misgivings in the heart or the bondage of the material network become cut to pieces, and by the science of God, he is elevated from all sorts of doubts. At this stage, the result of past activities become vanquished because of his realization of the Supreme Lord. So these are the verses quoted by Srila Prabhupada, and he's looking to the harbor. So this was just at that time, these verses were compiled by him, again to reiterate in Bengali. The 14th verse, this is the process of becoming liberated from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion, and thus they can become freed from all inauspicious things accumulated in the heart. Seemingly, the devotees who are coming and surrendering onto Srila Prabhupada will, no doubt, become liberated from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion. But because I am very unfortunate, Prabhupada says, because I am very unfortunate and most fallen. Now, Prabhupada's thinking most fallen when I read this. And I'm thinking, what kind of situation am I in? And most fallen, I am therefore seeking your benediction so that I may be able to convince them about this Krishna consciousness. So genuinely he is thinking that I'd like to be convincing and convince them. And I'm always thinking of running away from people, especially when they come to the temple. Oh no, I've got to stay away from this person. You know, I don't really want to talk to them. I haven't got time for them. And this is what happened to Kaka when he came back in January, and he was genuine, and we're thinking, when 9 out of 10 people, when we approach them, they're a waste of time. They don't really want to surrender. So this guy's just going to waste our time. He's such an elderly person. He's 90 years old. He's not going to do anything. But Srila Prabhupada gave his time, his energy, everything to these young individuals, everything he gave. From chopping an apple and giving it to them, to the ISKCON bullets, the gulab jambus, the rasgullas which he made, which he cooked. He gave everything. Somehow or other, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now it is up to you to make me success or failure, as you like. It is up to you. Fully surrendered. You are the Lord of the whole creation. So if you like, you can make my power to speak. You can make my power to speak suitable so that they can understand. Prabhupada is thinking, how will they understand? But Krishna, make my power suitable so that they can understand. Make my words suitable. When you listen to Srila Prabhupada's recordings and classes, for me, you know, yogis put it on my phone and I put the headphones on now and again. I listen to Srila Prabhupada because, of course, now, you know, due to technology, the words are very clear. Back in the day of cassettes, you remember the cassettes? Some of you youngsters wouldn't, you know, contemplate these cassettes. But back in the day, when you put the cassette on, you press the play, and you listen to Prabhupada, it's difficult. You know, it's a heavy Bengali Indian accent. And so I was thinking, how can a young 18-year-old hippie understand him? You know, never heard of such a strong accent. And yet, surrender is there. Verse 18, by your causeless mercy, only my words may become transcendentally pure. By your causeless mercy. And I am sure that when such a transcendental message penetrates their hearts, certainly they will feel engladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. The devotees, when performing kirtan in those early days, Tompkins Square Park, it was as if they're intoxicated. The pleasure which they received, it was profound just by chanting. Verse 19, I am just a puppet. This is a very famous one. I am just a puppet in your hands. You have brought me here. You have brought me here. And now you can make me dance as you like. Make me dance, make me dance. A puppet in your hands. This was Srila Prabhupada's mood. And finally, verse 20, I have no devotion, nor have I any knowledge. Bhaktivedanta, no knowledge, such humility. Nor do I have any knowledge, but still I have been designated Bhaktivedanta. Now, if you like, you can just fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. Fulfill that purport. And of course, the Supreme Lord does fulfill that purport. And he signs it, his divine grace signs this profound letter, profound poem, profound statement. And he signs it how? The most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladuta, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts. I can never pronounce that blinking state properly. USA, dated 18th September 1965. 18th September 1965. Of course, British time it's 17. British Greenwich Mean Time it's still the 17th of September, I believe. Now, I, Prabhu, is contemplating very seriously, and I'm thinking to myself, if Srila Prabhupada didn't come, if, like Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he stays in India, and if, like Gauranga Prabhu, he just preaches to the Indian subcontinent and doesn't establish the international society, where would I be? What would have happened to me? For I'm already in England. I'm an African, born in Africa. I'm in England. It's 1965. I haven't quite appeared, but in due course I will. My appearance will be made apparent. In I won't say what year, because then you'll all know how old my body is. But if Prabhupada did not set foot on American soil, what would happen to me? And I was thinking to myself, well, I'm a Gujarati Banya, a Jewish person. I'm attached to wealth, power, and money. I would have opened up a newsagent shop. Instead of, you know, joining ISKCON, joining the temple at a tender age, I would have, you know, done business, made money, broken all the principles, which I don't particularly adhere to anyway. But anyway, having said that, I would have, you know, become a businessman, possibly made millions, and wasted my life, had Prabhupada not appeared? Had Prabhupada not come, where would I be? Completely waste of time. Possibly because I am coming from a pious family, Gujarati. You know, we were vegetarian, somewhat vegetarian, and so be it. We were believers of Lord Krishna. I would have possibly joined the Swaminarayan sect and become a Swaminarayan, yes, and chanted those rounds on the beads. For at the age of 10, I did spend some time with a Swaminarayan sadhu, so maybe that would have happened to me. But where would I have been? There would have been no Bhagavatam. There would have been no Chaitanya Charitamrita. There would have been no SSR. There would have been no coming back. None of these books would have been exposed to me. For if Prabhupada didn't appear, nothing would have happened. I would have very much wasted my time and life. For I am wasting anyway, but possibly there's a glimpse of hope for me. There may be a light at the end of the tunnel for me. And that can only be if you devotees bless me. That can only be if I receive the blessings of the Vaishnavas. In conclusion, we have 10 minutes left, Prabhus, and there's a bit more which I'd like to say, but I just wanted to mention that Srila Prabhupada, as we see, went through difficulties and two major heart attacks on the Jaladuta. I was thinking to myself, I wonder what happened to the Jaladuta. It would have been wonderful if we had taken it, if we had bought it from the Skinda shipping company. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somewhere it was docked in America and we would have made a museum out of it? But we didn't quite get there. Mataji Murariji, we could have petitioned and tried to get the Jaladuta. But Prabhupada, you know, went through two heart attacks. And his sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters have also gone through difficulties. You know, if you read something like the salted bread, you know, all the Russian devotees, what they went through. If you look at the life of Tribhuvanath Prabhu, if you look at the life of Indrajumna Swami, the other day we were listening to, you know, a very comical class, but the difficulties of, you know, the preaching, traveling preacher of Indrajumna Maharaj, the difficulties are there. Very much so. I was then contemplating upon a very relishable pastime, which my Guru Maharaj, when he was cooking for Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan, and this is in the 70s, 77, early part of 77, His Holiness Bhaktacharya Swami was cooking for Prabhupada. And one lunchtime, Prabhupada would, if we, you know, read the Lilamrita, Prabhupada would take prasad at 1 o'clock on the dot. It was very well timed. It was 1 o'clock and he has to take prasad. So in the morning of that particular day, he mentions to Bhaktacharya Swami that I'd like karela sabji, karela nusak. I'd like karela for lunch. Bitter melon for you English people. Bitter melon. I don't know how, does it look like a melon? Lemon, is it lemon or melon? Melon, isn't it? Bitter, horrible stuff. But if you put a lot, if you put a whole lot of gore in it, it's quite nice. But anyway, Prabhupada wanted this, and it's not in season. It's not in season. What the heck's going to happen? Maharaj went to the market, to the bazaar, and none of the bazaar wallahs had the bitter melon, no karela in sale. There was no for sale sign saying karela for sale. It wasn't there. He came back to the temple and he's now frantic, for time is of the essence. He has to cook the prasad. He has to cook the boga. He then comes across this chokidar and he says to the chokidar, look, please go back to the bazaar. Maybe at such and such place there may be karela. So this Chokidar on his bicycle pedals away, and Maharaj is just waiting and waiting for the arrival of the Chokidar, and it's getting really, really disturbing. He's getting very, very impatient, very nervous, for the time is getting nearer and nearer. Finally, the Chokidar appears, and Maharaj is relieved. And he's looking at the bag, you know, the cloth bag, and does it have the karela? And you know, without even conversing with the Chokidar, he just goes for the bag. And guess what? The bag's blinking empty. There's no karela. Maharaj is thinking, what's gonna happen? I don't have karela. What substitute for karela? Something bitter. What other than, you know, parwar? Is parwar kind of bitter? Not particularly. Well, parwar is not in the market anyway. Anyway, he's so bewildered and he's so affected. His mind is in pieces that he cannot make this sabji. So he's walking towards the Gurukul. Of course, Prabhupada's quarters back then were on the opposite direction. And the Gurukul is like somewhat on the right. And the quarters are on the left. If you look at the complex, the samadhi naturally doesn't exist. For Prabhupada hasn't taken samadhi, so don't think of the samadhi. So the samadhi is not there. It's all kind of open. And on the right is the temple. And Prabhupada's quarters are behind that. And the Gurukul building is on the right, on your right. On my right, on your left. So Prabhupada is walking towards, he's meant to be walking towards the kitchen. Sorry, Maharaj is meant to be walking towards the kitchen. And he's just diverted. He's so oblivious. He's oblivious and he starts walking towards the Gurukul. For what reason? Unknown. So he's walking towards the Gurukul. And on the veranda there, on the steps, on the floor, is a cloth bag. And for no reason at all, he looks at the bag and is thinking, what the heck's in this bag? And why is it being left here? And nothing's being left. This is India, by the way. You know, you don't leave anything lying around. I remember one time we were in the patron trip and one of our patrons left a camera just by the altar and he was about to take darshan and, of course, someone takes the camera. And it's gone. We never see it again. It was a very expensive camera. Fortunately, he had insurance and he got paid for it. But you don't leave anything lying around. And this cloth bag is there. Mara just opens it. And guess what? Prabhu's is putting karela in the bag. Mara just thinking, well, I'm not interested. Who is the proprietor of this bag? I'm taking the bag. So he rushes off. Before he's caught, he rushes to the kitchen, slices the karela, you know, does the vagar, the spices. I'm sure he probably puts gore in there, otherwise too bitter. I don't know. He makes a nice karela sabji, and he then offers that and then presents it to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada has the karela, and he relishes it. And after relishing the prasad, he then turns to Maharaj and Prabhupada says, so you got the karela? And that's when Maharaj Bhakti Charu Swami realized that it was probably Prabhupada who put it there in the first place. A remarkable, miraculous pastime. And there are many, many, many when it comes to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the key chai. And his appearance upon the holy land of America, key chai. Thank you all very much, Prabhus. It is 9:03. You have very little time. If there are any comments, corrections, gladly accepted. Any questions, there are very senior personalities here present who may be able to answer.